Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is my mea culpa.
This is Michael Cohen, and you're listening to the Mea Culpa podcast. Well, howdy, folks. Mea Culpa's taking a short August recess. But with everything that's happening, I just couldn't let you guys down. So stay tuned for an absolutely all-new, raw, and unfiltered interview with my favorite former prosecutor, Harry Littman. The host of the Talking Feds podcast, Littman is also an LA Times columnist and appears frequently on MSNBC. And this week, he joins us on Mea Culpa to offer a no-holds-barred look at the Trump indictment from a prosecutor's point of view. It's really fantastic. So let's go now to that conversation. Okay, so Harry, in a recent New York Times opinion essay, Nick Ackerman, who I've had on the show, obviously, wrote why televising the Trump trials is a bad idea, saying that, and I quote, "The arguments in favor of broadcasting the trials do not give enough weight to the dangers that could pose to trial witnesses and jurors, or the potential to undermine the integrity of the trial processes." Do you agree with Nick's assessment?
I don't. I understand it. That is the kind of argument that is often proffered. The Supreme Court makes that argument that the actors will be influenced. Hey, I'm on TV. But this is true in so many arenas of public life. You could say that of baseball players or members of Congress. God forbid they ever grandstand. And you can, I think Nick is coming at it. I didn't read the whole op-ed, but from a kind of bygone day with a sort of utopian view of how the rule of law works. I can see people's thinking about themselves and, you know, combing their hair a little different and that kind of thing. But what I estimate is he is what's on the other side that strikes me as very weighty. It just so happens at this juncture in 2023 that this one criminal trial is of interest, not because of the way, you know, Judge Judy trials or even the OJ trial is. It's a huge civics lesson that the country's not otherwise going to get. There's just no substitute for seeing the historic image of Mike Pence testifying against Donald Trump, of Mark Meadows. It's the equivalent of the Watergate hearings, which those moments were indelible and such an important part of the public education and the ultimate judgment about Nixon and all the president's men. So I take his point. I can see how it would subtly alter things, but I think the people's interest in really seeing this trial trumps that, or should.
So you and I obviously sat together on panels, spent quite a bit of time in green rooms, and we've kind of had this question, or I should say this topic, as one of the topics that we were just talking about while sitting there. And we were talking about the transparency of the trial. Your point well taken. The necessity, it's a teaching lesson, a civics lesson, something that your belief is that you will not be able to appreciate the gravity of this trial unless you actually get to see it and hear it yourself. But I want to pose a different thought for a second. And yes, I acknowledge that Mark Meadows, in one of these five trials, because they want to do it, this transparency, these televisions in the courts.
The ratings will go down eventually.
Five.
It'll be like public TV, but yeah.
Who knows? But I get it. Mike Pence, Mark Meadows. What happens to the person who's not the former vice president or the former chief of staff. Let's just take a look at what happened the other day with the FBI special agent shooting and killing that Utah guy, Craig Robertson, who, after listening to Trump's rhetoric, if you come after me, I'm coming after you, and so on, ends up going on social media talking about, I hear Biden's coming to Utah, right? Digging out my old, girl's suit and cleaning the dust off the M24 sniper rifle. Welcome, buffoon in chief, right? Which ended up getting the guy a visit from FBI agents to investigate. A shootout ensues, and Robertson is left dead. What happens, for example, to people like me? Somebody who we already know is expected to be called in at least one, if not two, of the trials. What about me? I have no police protection. I'm not Fannie Willis. I'm not Jack Smith. I'm not, Mike Pence. I'm not Mark Meadows. I'm not, who else? Alvin Bragg. I don't have police protection. They offer me nothing except a thank you, a little pat on the back as you're leaving the front door, where they will escort you out to a car that's waiting for you, not provided by them. Generally, a cab, an Uber, a family relative waiting to pick me up, a friend, right? Because I don't want to stand on the street. What about people like me? No. Why in the world is somebody like me, I don't give a shit, subpoena or not, now going to, after everything that's happened to me, and because we talk about everything from the book Revenge all the way down, unconstitutional remand, I can't get a fucking FOIA document after 18 months, over 18 months since the court said you could have it. All of a sudden, hey, Michael, not only should you provide this information, which is crucial to our investigation, crucial to the conviction of Donald Trump, but your safety as well. Why should somebody like me put my ass on the line for anything?
Okay, so a few points. First, prosecutors do have the wherewithal to protect witnesses, and they do sometimes when there's an immediate danger. That's point one. Point two is, and think of the Utah.
Can I stop you on just point one? Can I stop you on point one for a second? They have the ability to do that. They've done it for themselves, but they haven't done it for any of the witnesses. Right? So they think that their ass is in danger, and so they get the protection. But what about everybody else? Like, for example, Alvin Bragg, right? What did he do? Okay, he brought the indictment. Good for him. Should have been earlier, but good for him. It's not his testimony. He's just the guy that's going to be trying the case. What about all the witnesses? So he thinks it's necessary for him to have round-the-clock protection, but not the witnesses?
So no. So that's the first point I wanted to make. Prosecutors do have the wherewithal to protect witnesses, and if there's a real showing, and maybe one answer to the problem you're raising is they should use it more. But in gang cases, for example, it's routine to hide witnesses, and even if it comes to an extreme situations, relocate them. That's point one. Point two is, as the Utah example shows, it's not clear that the fact of being on TV, your mug is now pretty well known in Manhattan, Michael. And is it the case that if it's on TV, that the dangers that you take on as a citizen grow much more? That's point two. Point three is, we just can't succumb as a society. I'm thinking, if this were maybe Guatemala or places where the bad guys actually control, it would be unstoppable to have witnesses mowed down and the like. That's an unacceptable situation. And if we really are succumbing to that as a society, then we just don't quite have the rule of law. And so ultimately, the Utah thing raises another point, which is the hardest thing for law enforcement to get at, and the lone actor. So if we're really, really talking seriously, the question is, if there's a 1 in 10,000 chance that a witness would be in danger versus all the things on the other side. I think that's what you're saying, right? It's almost unheard of for witnesses to actually be harmed, but a lot of fear, a lot of threats, etc. But if there's some minuscule chance, do we use that to say you cannot have public hearings? And I think the hard answer there is no, you don't. And it does. It's exactly as you say. You're not only doing your public duty by testifying, but you're also, whether you're palpably endangering yourself or your family, or just justifiably getting very nervous and uneasy about it, that's the price that society is kind of forcing you to pay for the broader issues at stake. That's the real hard-nosed answer. I could say, it won't happen because there'll always be protection, et cetera. But I acknowledge your point that if you have a mob boss or even a former president who can incite crazies wherever, come out from under the woodwork, could it be a danger to witnesses that, again, you have, that is more than if it's not televised? Because, people know what Mike Pence looks like. People know what Mark Meadows looks like. People know what Michael Cohen looked like. So I think that to have a full-fledged democracy, it means we are taking that small risk as we do in congressional hearings, as we do in, anything with the executive branch. This so happens now to be a really, really important part of what government is doing, and it just shouldn't be closed to the people.
And let's also not forget that this isn't the first that we saw. Remember when there was that lone actor that opened fire on an FBI office?
Right, exactly. It's now right after.
Six months ago?
I thought it was fairly... I totally take your point. Look, Tom, I was a U.S. attorney. They always wanted to give me martial protection. I didn't want it. And that's because no one's really gonna... You could say that. But it has happened once to a mentor of mine, a great guy, an assistant U.S. attorney in Seattle, was shot and killed by probably involving somebody he had prosecuted. It's, and to this day, they haven't tried or found the person. And it's a cause celeb among all AUSAs. We've given funds for rewards, et cetera. So the truth of the matter is it's not a zero thing. It's a infinitesimal thing. But I take your point and still say that the broader value, it's easy enough for me to say, I realize. But, I was U.S. attorney and in the crosshairs in that kind of way also. The broader value is, it's a very, very big value, the people's right to sort of see this and come to understand in a way only a trial and live testimony can do, how their republic was nearly stolen from them. It's just too important.
The reason, obviously, this is an important point is because your point is well taken. Yeah, I do believe that for the country to heal, to go forward, things like this, these hearings, the transparency of this type of a trial is essential, at least to help to restore the fractured reputation of both law enforcement and the DOJ. In particular, but it doesn't help when the guy who is the defendant, who has a microphone that's really a megaphone, he's out there spewing in the dog whistle way that he does, in the mob-like way that he
does.
Yeah,
this isn't even a dog whistle, right?
Sort of,
I mean, this is a real whistle. This is, Mike Pence.
I mean,
this is,
what do we really need? Do we need another... An assassination, like what just took place in Ecuador with that presidential candidate, what's his name?
Exactly.
Fernando Villavicencio. I mean, is that really what we need here in this country?
100% not.
And what
that would show we don't really have a developed rule of law. But look, like there are intermediate. All I was saying is because of the lone actor, you can never get the risk down to zero, but you can get it damn close. And stick around. This will probably be released. Will this be released Friday, you know, the 11th? So we're going to have the first hearing. We'll see how there's a judge now who will whose job it is to protect witnesses and court personnel and the jury pool and has some powers to do that, including if it comes to it. But it's a very, very, very hard setting to do it, can put the defendant, the former president of the United States, in the pokey. But we'll see how she asserts herself in her role as the protector of exactly these interests.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And I think there'll be a certain severity.
Sometimes,
but,
though,
but it can't get it down to zero because he says crap, and it's people out there in the country, because he's a demagogue, who are sometimes not accidentally, like January 6th, but who, you know, take his lead. And he seems to want to have it, right? That statement a few weeks ago was basically, you put me on trial, the country will burn. You know, aside from the stunning, like, megalomania of that, it actually seems to be a desire, as he was apparently, like, jubilant on January 6th. He wants blood to spill for the reprisal of charging him with crimes he committed. That is where we are, but we just cannot stand for that mindset to prevail.
But so far, not one judge has held him in contempt,
right,
or has held him accountable for these vile, open statements of fear, harm, threat, imminent threat.
I wouldn't say accountable, Michael.
Nobody has held him
accountable.
Just
yesterday, we got an opinion from the D.C. Circuit affirming the judgment of a district court saying, Twitter, you have to give all your information. And guess what? You can't tell Trump about it because there's cause to believe under the law that he could do mischief with it or alert folks. People are aware of the risk. In terms of the really muzzling him because he is risking the safety of witnesses, he's only been indicted. I mean, proceedings have only, we're about to count number four, but they're all relatively new. So his date with destiny, as it were, is just starting, and on both the 11th and the 28th, in terms of Judge Chutkan, who, you know, can do things in between, like impose a gag order, etc. And there are tools, and they would be effective with most people. Trump is such an odd situation for many reasons, including his countrywide megaphone. But there are tools. And all I'm saying, I'm taking your question really, really seriously, because you're the witness who has to worry after you leave and get in the Uber. And I'm just acknowledging it may be a non-zero chance, but it's damn close to zero. And there's important stuff on the other side. All I'm saying.
So what about then Trump's argument that, you know, his, the case he's trying to make to, obviously, you don't have to make it to his supporters, because, you know, if the guy fucking farted on television, he would tell them it's the greatest fart ever in the history of farts, and they would all believe it. But his belief, sure, why not, right? But what he's saying is that by televising the trial, which you know he doesn't want, he'll say, I want it, but you know, deep down inside he doesn't, because the camera will be fixated to every grimace, every eye roll, every sweat that pours down his brow, that this is, by showcasing, right, our judicial system, it kind of stifles, you know, any talk of an unfair trial, because people will be able to see for themselves what's happening. He, you know, he clearly doesn't want that to happen. You follow what I'm saying?
So 100%. He really wishes this would go away and he could just be in the public sphere where he can distort the evidence, where he can say things without being subject to cross-examination. And you're totally right. You've probably had friends who, you know, served on juries and said, man, you guys go to such elaborate lengths to make sure it's done right, and we only get to hear testimony in certain times and stuff. This will be... And you know, he, to listen to him, if you're an ardent follower, you think it's already that the game is wired, because the judge who's presiding was chosen by a Democrat. Honestly, that's how crass his point of view is. And to see that, in fact, it's going to be played straight up, so that that itself is meaningful. I think there's another thing going on, too. You've probably seen it. I saw it many times. It's subtle. You see it a little bit like at a prize fight where someone loses. A defendant, even a big shot, you know, Noriega is a good example here. You see them sort of in that chair, basically impotent, basically, you know, having to just sit there and take it. It's really diminishing of them, and that, you know, and the palpable loss of control. He looks like a figure who has been forced to heal by the society that he injured. That's what he should look like. But I think it's sort of a humiliating posture for someone who's used to, you know, calling the shots and saying whatever he wants in the front of crowds.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. There he is, standing before a judge who is elevated, right? Because, you know, their dais is elevated over that of, you know, the defendant. He's looking up, they're looking down. And when it's your ass that's on the line and your future is in the hands of that one person, right? Especially when, you know, if that person is female, because Trump is sexist. If that person is black or brown or Hispanic or Mexican, right? Because Trump is racist. Automatically in his mind, despite the fact he doesn't want you to believe it, he thinks he's impervious, he's got, you know, skin that will bounce, you know, bullets
off
of.
One more indictment, then I'll be sure to win the election. That's how he's playing it, right?
Exactly, right? He's scared shitless right now, all right? Because he, by the way, because you're normal, he may want to portray himself as, you know, this impervious human, right? That he's above it all. It's not true. Yeah, he's out there playing golf. He's out there meeting with his friends, you know, or I should say the members at Mar-a-Lardo, eating, you know, and so on, only to pass the time. Not because when he's sitting by himself, which is most of the time, in his room at Mar-a-Lago, watching television, it's not boiling in his stomach and in his chest because he knows everything that he did. And the fear that he has is that the Mike Pences, the Mark Meadows, Jared, Ivanka, and you know, I was with you on television when I said that I believe that they are informants. I really do. And again, it's my opinion. I have no basis for making that other than just the fact is that Jared, the secretary of everything, seems to have escaped any, you know, sort of accountability for anything. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Not to mention they knew exactly where all the documents were and so on for that, for the FBI raid. But all these people who were there, who have emails and text messages, Michael to Harry, hey, Harry, could you believe that Donald won't go on television and tell these people to leave? Harry to Michael, oh, my, he's lost his mind. You can't even talk to him right now. If you try, he'll bite your head off, right? These are the things that are going to get introduced.
These are hypothetical messages, everyone.
Yes, Harry was not in the White House at the time of the January 6th. That was just an
example.
But he
was all, Trump right? was all upset Jeez, that Harry. He got called Mr. Trump in court, you know, like everyone else. The multiple indignities he's going to, you know, sit down, please, Mr. Trump. You know, he's not going to be in charge and it's going to be palpable. So, and that'll be true at other places. But that's part, like a judge like Cannon, there is a real risk that is yet to be eliminated that she's kind of in the tank. But even if she's not, you know, she was reversed a couple of weeks ago because she forgot to swear in the jury. She's just not an experienced, strong judge who can bring him to heel. But Judge Kaplan, as you know, in the E. Jean Carroll case, I think Judge Chutkan here, who knows whom he'll draw in Georgia, they are. And that's, you know, that's just a nightmare to him having to be bossed around. He's the big boss and he's being bossed around and treated like an accused criminal, as presumed innocent, all those things. But he's got to respect the process, and this guy doesn't respect anything. His brand is not respecting anything. His brand is being above everything. And here will be TV evidence that, guess what? You know, the rule of law constrains him.
So I'm curious, as a former prosecutor, if you do me a favor, take a step back for a moment and discuss with my audience your view of the size and the scope of what is occurring right now. Because you said to Nicole Wallace on Deadline, and I'm going to quote, that a former president is being charged with the most treacherous act in opposition to democracy, rule of law, and the peaceful transfer of power in our history. And I agree with you on actually that assessment.
You know, it's...
What goes through your mind when you're thinking about this?
Well, it's funny because I'm aware of everyone's tendency to be overly focused and distort the importance of the present that's right in front of them. And so the first time I got asked this wasn't by Nicole. It was another show. And my first notion was, you know, you fear that you're going to hyperbole. But this isn't hyperbole. There's the description you just gave. It's just a fact. I mean, it doesn't even take much reflection to think maybe some government actors were about equally treacherous around the Civil War, although they were fighting for a cause. They were, you know, not nearly as callow. But and that's just a maybe. But they weren't president of the United States. A president tried very hard in real time to upend the democracy and bring an end to constitutional rule. I can't think of anything bigger than that. And now, of course, normally he should have been, a lot of people are saying this now, Much of what's going on now traces to McConnell's and company's fecklessness in not knowing that he was guilty and not convicting him on an impeachment and banning him from government. But now we have a process where a criminal trial is taking care of it. So I can't think of a trial anywhere near with those sorts of stakes. Try to imagine big ones in history. And now you combine it with the fact that the TFG is running again and is playing at the same time a huge gamble where his only way out of overwhelming charges against him is to win the presidency and just smother the legal process. So that, you know, normally you're looking we're already looking backwards to the most severe dereliction by any president in history, but now we're also looking forwards to a big roll of the dice that the whole system's vitality and maybe survival is at stake. I'm in hyperbole land. I don't see how we've ever gotten bigger than that in terms of an individual criminal trial.
But even if hypothetically he wins the presidential election, God forbid, 1,000 yeah. times, right? That doesn't yeah. negate Georgia, if and when Fannie Willis brings the indictment, and if in fact he is ultimately held accountable. It doesn't negate
comes
Alvin
damn
Bragg's.
Close. People haven't realized this. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but it comes damn close, because I think it's likely, and I think it'll probably would be the right ruling. The Supreme Court would say, while he's president, you can't put him in jail. You can't go through the process while he's president. I think that's quite likely. And it's a fundamental principle, but it also follows from other of their opinions. So now we're talking about everything stops. He's president for, let's say, only 4 years. Then we recommence and we're in appeals, et cetera. The air's gone out of the tires. So the notion, people are way too sanguine about, you saw this just yesterday, the big thing about how pardon works in Georgia and Kemp can't pardon him. He's 77. He's long lived in hereditarily, but I see this as if he's elected president, maybe 6 years until, you know, accountability
okay,
would
so,
come.
So let me
and
ask
that's
you this
a
then.
Long time.
Sure. But let me ask you this, because so Alvin Bragg's case, as an example, and I will acknowledge to my audience, which I have before, including on television, that it is the least.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Sexy.
And see, on television, it matters more. That's why we have to televise the trial. Sorry, go ahead.
That it's the least sexy of the potential five indictments. And I don't make any bones about
it. Although it's got a lot of sex in it.
Well, that's true. Right? From all the charges, paying off a porn star, lying about it in your books and records and so on. Mind you, Harry, if that was you, like it was me, 48 hours, you're going to prison. They're already charging you the whole nine yards, right?
Okay. And just stop here and think about why should this is a pretty sexy Lincoln case. but it's not abuse of presidential power, which was what makes the others so breathtaking.
Conspiracy, theft of nuclear and top secret information. God knows who he showed it to, right? And then, you know, you have the other one trying to overthrow a free and fair election to negate people's, you know, decision to vote, which is right on par for the Donald Trump famous quote that I've been saying for years, something that he was fascinated with about Putin, which is it doesn't matter who you vote for. All that matters is who's counting the vote. And we see that with the fake electors and so on. Would you do anything different, let's say, than Smith and Bragg and Willis in order to get to where we're at right now? Would you, like, take Alvin Bragg, for example. Would you have moved the case faster? Because that case is going to trial in March.
He'll probably defer.
It cannot. It's set in stone. That case is going to trial in March. Assuming.
Yeah.
Because I do believe, based on the information, the evidence, the testimony, documentary evidence, and so on, it's a very easy case to prove. He's found guilty. All right. Well, he would then be sentenced before the election. Right? So, Now what?
Yeah. Let me just start with this, which is, I think it's a tougher question than most people have been assuming. You talk about lone actors, the Tree of Life massacre. That's my hometown synagogue. That guy, his trial, not even the appeals, which will go on forever, just completed. That happened in 2018. The trial just completed last week. The normal lifespan of the justice system is long. And so the initial question is, should guys like Bragg and Merrick Garland, et cetera, have been thinking in 2022, holy shit, we got to saddle up and really move things faster than we otherwise would because he might run for re-election. So just to frame it that way, you know, already makes it clear that it's a little bit of a tricky call. But I think what's happened in these cases, there's a way in which it would have been better were they sooner. And, you know, it's just capricious real life events. So Bragg comes into office, and I don't care what people say now. I think it was clear he had cold feet about this case when he took the reins over from Vance. And of course, Vance, there was the happenstance, whatever. There was the exploitation of the legal system by Trump, taking an issue all the way up to the Supreme Court and back. So Vance couldn't bring the case before the time that he would leave. And so then, and it took many months and getting his footing for Bragg to have it together. It would have been preferable in retrospect had he done it sooner. Similarly with the DOJ, I've been the guy least likely to castigate the DOJ for dragging its feet, et cetera. Least likely to say, you know, they were resisting it because there's a lot of investigation going on. But even I have said, they could have moved faster in the investigative phase than they did. But they're kind of making up for it with Smith. But okay, so those few months happen. In a perfect world, I do think the voters should have a chance to know whether the guy they're voting for, whether you're for, against, or undecided, is a convicted felon of some serious crimes. So the shape our country is in and the command that he seems to have over 30% of the electorate might suggest that it wouldn't change their views at all. So basically, I see this lapse of time. And one more point. There's no way, and this is probably the case if they'd brought the charges immediately, that it's going to play to the very end of the appellate process by the time of the election. So it was always going to be the case that if he ran, he could shut it down. He wouldn't have to pardon himself. Just say, this case you're doing, stop doing it. That's something he can do. So I just, you know, I think this is just a sort of shit happens, basically, in different ways and different jurisdictions. And yeah, it would have been nicer if they were going at it sooner. But the fact that, as you say, Bragg could he suggested to me, Michael, but you probably know better, but Bragg could bring it by March, and Jack Smith, and we'll know much more about this on the 28th when Judge Chutkan sets the trial date. I think he will bring it sooner. That's a pretty lucky thing that, you know, we can still pull it out and have a judgment of a jury, even if it hasn't gone to appeal. So, you know, not perfect, but, you know, nevertheless, I think people will go to there's a very good chance people will go to the polls knowing that he's basically guilty as charged. Of course, you know, people knew that already. And the real risk, the real fear is that somehow he makes that a matter of indifference by, as he always does, you know, just hoodwinking enough people to never 50%. He's never been at 50%, but to
never will
with the help of the Electoral College system going over the, you know. That's a terrible prospect, just as you say. But anyway, yeah, it could have been. But, you know, I think we're in enough of a position to get a judgment. And it's never going to be that, like, all of a sudden, 90% of the country understand he's a guilty sack and the most treacherous president in our history. We're always talking about margins with him and erosion just enough to be sure that he doesn't get elected.
So, you said in a recent LA Times piece that you wrote, and I quote, Trump may believe in his own big lie, but that shouldn't save him from a guilty verdict for election tampering. Could you unpack for my listeners what you mean here, that it doesn't matter if Trump believed what he was saying was truthful or not? Election tampering is still election tampering, no matter the context.
Yeah, and forgive me, because it seems so straightforward to me, but this is what his lawyer, John Law, are out saying. You know, let's say he's going to try to, the indictment goes to great pains to show that he did know it. Everybody told him, and he said it himself. So obviously they think, and they're right, it helped for the jury to think that, but indulge for a minute and say you're in the jury room and you've decided, for whatever, you know, psychopathology, he actually thought the moon was made of green cheese. Fine. So he should be able to do what that belief leads him to do, i.e. go to court, which he did 60 times and lost 59 and a half. But it's just fanciful, just a complete non sequitur to say, oh, because he thought that, he could substitute false electors and send them to Congress and the Smithsonian, or try to inspire a riot, or try to delay the proceedings. He's got that. That is an unlawful thing to do. And when you agree to do something unlawful and take steps that way, you're guilty of conspiracy. And it doesn't matter in the slightest that he thinks he's, you know, what if he said, look, I know I won, this guy cheated me, so I'm going to shoot him in the head. It's just very clear that he's charged. Nevertheless, it doesn't make it not unlawful, the things that he's charged with agreeing to do. And remember, conspiracy, you don't have to achieve it. That's the other thing that his guys out there saying, oh, he was just, I shouldn't laugh, but, you know, aspirational to Pence, just a sort of pretty please. It seemed pretty close to a gun to the head to me, but it doesn't, he said, oh, but at the end of the day, no thanks to Trump, of course, there was a peaceful transition of power on the 20th of January. None of this matters because of conspiracy. Conspiracy is, you know, complete and a crime when you agree to do with other people to do something unlawful and you take steps to do it. So what this comes down to is the question, is there anything about what he believed in his head that makes it no longer unlawful to substitute false electors, makes it no longer unlawful to delay proceedings past the legal limit set in the Electoral Count Act, makes it no longer unlawful to suppress people's votes because you think it's, you know, all in all comes out in the wash. To me, putting it that way just seems, you know, beyond, it's just not a close call.
It's so crazy because I sat in the office with Donald on so many occasions and we're talking about, say, for example, Vladimir Putin. And during his elections, right, he's winning 92% of the vote to the next person, 8%. And we all know that that's bullshit, right? Even the people in Russia know that it's bullshit. But he's been able to hold on to power for an indefinite period of time. Now, there was a big challenge, you may remember, in Russia that you can only be president for two terms, 8 years. So what does Putin do? He makes himself the prime minister and provides in an amendment to the constitution that they have, which is really Putin's writing, that the prime minister is above the president and has the ability to tell the president what to do. So he makes Medvedev the president, right? And then after the 4 years goes by, he changes that you could be president as long as people will continue to vote for you. That's Donald Trump's game right then and there. And if they would have succeeded in this bullshit with the election tampering, we would have Donald and whoever else he chose thereafter as our leader for the rest of eternity. Because there is no way to undo that. When you control who counts the votes, it doesn't matter if one person votes or every single American votes. The person that you want to win, well, that's the winner. And by the margin. And so it just becomes where you
Democracy
become complacent.
Democracy is a fragile thing. It's really true.
That's
what the framers recognize, and this is our next to the Civil War. This is our the biggest point of fragile, exposure we've ever had.
So I'm curious, what do you make of Trump's pushing back? You brought up Judge Chutkin. What do you make of Trump's pushing back against Chutkin, against her protective order? I mean, do you? Because it's this whole thing is obviously weighing on my mind as somebody who is expected to be, as I said, a witness in at least one, if not two, cases. Do you see a contempt charge being brought against Trump? Should he continue to use, you know, social media and other platforms to threaten witnesses, prosecutors, judges, you know, anybody to stop them from...
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
The process as it stands? I mean, do you see a contempt?
Yeah. Well, you said, should he continue? So we're in a showdown, but at the end of the day, the judge, I think, will say, and this is, it's not just the judge, by the way, I think it was important. People kind of glossed over it, but the chief judge, other judges from that court showed up. That wasn't for prurient interest. They're showing a solidarity of a court that's tried 1,000 of these defendants, knows how serious it is. Look, if he's doing it in a tangible way, or if, God forbid, there's an episode, as you say, she's got to put her foot down, and she will. The thing is, she wants to sort of subdivide. Any other defendant in here would already be in jail. That's her ultimate card to play. We have conditions of confinement, and I'm altering them so you have to go away. It's a very, very serious thing to put a presidential candidate in jail. It implicates our First Amendment rights as well as his. So she wants to try to have as much sort of room in between the ultimate. But so it's stern lecture, sterner lecture, possibly gag order, super stern lecture. But if he continues to be a jackass, I think there comes a point where she says, if you do this again, I'm putting you in jail, Mr. Trump. I've got nothing else to do. And then if he does it again and plays chicken with her, he loses. So it really is the question. I mean, you in some ways have a superior vantage point, because knowing what he'd be looking at, would his either, you know, sort of megalomania or martyrdom complex make him want to do this, make him want to try to put her in jail because he thinks it's good for him or whatever. Eventually there comes a point where that's the only card she has left to play, and she will play it. The 28th, again, is going to be really interesting. Is she going to lay down the, you know, is she going to say that all you come after me, I'm coming after you, the thing you said about Pence, we can't tolerate any of this crap. And, you know, if she's got to put down a marker, but he is far from. She also needs to build in several layers, as many almost as she can, before she actually tells the marshals to
until somebody gets hurt. Until somebody gets hurt.
Then they give you a little pat on the back.
Yeah. Right? They give you a little pat on the back. Oh, we're sorry. Right? You know, we're sorry. Or they send you a fucking flag.
I don't disagree.
Right? When they're putting you in the ground, you know, that, oh, you're a true hero. You're a real American hero for standing up for democracy. And this hasn't happened yet,
Michael, but now we're back to where we were before. Yes.
Well,
that's right. But she can't pull the trigger, as it were, right away. It's a really serious thing. On the other hand, how serious is it for Trump? Even if he wants to be a martyr, you know better the kind of comfortable life he has going into jail for a few days with a jail toilet and a jail exposure and a jail, you know, cafeteria. I mean, how insane is he? I guess that's the question. You know,
well,
best.
For one, there is no hairspray in prison because it's flammable.
That's a big point, right?
So
he'll come out and he'll be bald, right?
Well, I don't know about bald, but the left side of his head will come
down. It
won't be pretty. The left side of the hair will come down to the waist. The back will go down to the ass crack, right? And then nothing on the other side. Well, let me ask you this then. What a picture, right? It's like in my book, Disloyal, I have one chapter called Flip, Flap, Flop, which kind of describes how it works. But in an op-ed for the...
Does he do it himself or does somebody do it for him?
No. That's all done himself.
He does it himself.
He does. Yeah, He's an expert at it. He could do it with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
You know, it's called rote, right? You just keep doing something over and over. So in an op-ed for The Independent, you, Mr. Littman, wrote that Trump has truly met his match in special prosecutor Jack Smith, saying that he is, in a quote, the very antithesis of a generic prosecutor. He has sussed out his quarry as meticulously as Ahab sussed out the white whale. Now, of course, we're talking about Moby Dick there. Unpack, if you would, for my listeners.
Which didn't end that well for Ahab.
It did not. I was going to get to that, too. If you would, unpack for my listeners. What special qualities are required of someone taking on Donald Trump, especially in a trial that is of the former president's life as much as it is for his political future? I mean, knowing that Trump will do anything and everything in his power to remain free.
Here's what I mean. We indulge. I don't mean to be cynical. We continually repeat a kind of bromide that is sort of true, but sort of isn't. That bromide is just like anybody else. If you treated him any different, then that wouldn't be the rule of law. He did crimes, etc. And that would suggest that all Jack Smith is doing is kind of punching the clock as he would with any other defendant who did the same crimes. But if you look at that indictment, and others have made that point, I might have done it first, but anyway, he's really sussed Trump out. He is very carefully constructed. He has anticipated where Trump was going. Maybe it's not so difficult. He's in many ways, as you've shown over the last few years, kind of predictable. But he took away the First Amendment claim when he wrote the indictment because he knew that's where Trump was going. He most importantly saw Trump's delaying strategy above and beyond everything else. And he took that largely away by not charging insurrection, which is a very complicated legal issue, would give rise to lots of motions, and by charging only Trump. And even though we know there are six, everyone keeps calling them unindicted co-conspirators, the indictment calls them co-conspirators. So, I don't know if these are people who easily could have been charged, and he didn't. So all I mean is he's not just Mr. by the book, he's also thought carefully about his target and constructed a case designed to the particulars, including this whole dynamic that we're all so focused on of trying to get a trial completed before the November election, well before the November election.
So then what do you do, for example, when you have somebody, again, with Trump's megaphone and following and so on, and not to mention, you know, pocketbook, because he keeps getting these suckers to keep sending him more and more money. So what do you do when you have a when you have somebody like a Trump who is now asking that the federal judge who's presiding in his criminal case over the attempts to overthrow the 2020 election, he wants her to recuse herself. He also wants a change of venue outside of the District of Columbia. First, he goes on by accusing the judge without any basis, because facts don't really matter to the guy, right? Accusing her as she's partial against him. So I'm curious if you believe that either of these will come to fruition. And more importantly, do you think, I mean, when I say will come to fruition, that she will either recuse herself or that they will grant a change of venue? Because Trump's argument all along is that he cannot get a fair trial in D.C., right? He wants to push it to like West Virginia or something like that, where he believes that he has a better chance of having jurors that are part of the Trump cult chosen to be, you know, on the jury.
Okay, a few things. First, venue and recusal. No chance. They're total losers. I will, what will I do? Comb my hair like Donald Trump, or if either of those is granted. And what, and for Smith's purposes, what he does is rely on the rule of law. You have to, you know, this is the real danger with the, you know, Judge Cannon down Mar-a-Lago, is that you can't rely on that, and then the whole system crumbles. So that's point one. But it's a much bigger point, and it's one of the reasons, by the way, you need a protective order. Smith, being proper, won't try his case in the press, won't let evidence out and trickle it out. And what Trump would do if he got this is specifically let things out in a selective way that would paint the best picture. But and so that's one reason he should be deterred. But at the end of the day, I think the answer for Smith is you keep your head down. You do the best you can with the 12 persons who are chosen within the system. You understand that as you're going forward, I think you called it maybe a non-zero chance, Michael. He's doing this extremely important task for society that is running in parallel with something that, is it 1%? Is it 5%? Is it 20%? If that percent chance eventuates, we are fucked. It's just, we're lost. So from his point of view, all he can do, he's got a big enough job. Basically, the short answer, you know, you do some things with the rule, with, you know, of course, relying on the law, keeping him from doing other things. But basically, his lookout is his lookout. And Trump will be, one way or another, even without exploiting the discovery, in the open field, say, telling lies and trying to prejudice the people into thinking it's all a political prosecution brought by Joseph Biden, of all people. And his basic response has to be to put the blinders on and try the case in the courtroom and get a conviction. That's really all he can do.
Yeah, see, Harry, let me tell you, obviously, knowing Donald as well as I do, what alternative does he actually have here, other than to keep running his mouth, to keep creating divisiveness between the parties, calling everything partisan, calling for action, physical action by his supporters in the event that these partisans keep going after your favorite president, me, right? What else does he have? He knows the facts. Look, Donald is not a rocket scientist, all right? Doesn't read, sees things myopically.
Is that right? By the way, he never has read a book.
Never read a book.
Yeah.
Right.
It sure seems that way. Okay.
The only thing he'll read is newspaper clippings if his name is in it. And he doesn't even finish the clippings either. The point is, and it's true, but the point is,
I believe you. Yeah.
He has no alternative to keep doing what he's doing. And my biggest fear, again, is that something is going to happen. You know, I've had guests on this podcast and we talk about the danger that Donald Trump is posing that most people aren't even taking into consideration. And that's the people like this guy Robertson, these lone wolves, or the people who are still part of a larger group that are dedicated to saving Donald Trump, right? Now, I don't think you're going to see too many of the Oath Keepers doing shit because most of them are either locked up or they're looking at Stuart Rhodes with his 18-year, you know, sentence. That's no joke. And where was Donald
Deterrence.
To protect him?
Deterrence, right?
But where
right.
was Donald to protect him? No lawyers, the whole... By the way, the other guy, De Oliveira, he couldn't even plead because he doesn't even have a lawyer. Really? Delay tactic?
Surprise.
Is it just that Donald, or is it Donald's not willing to pay or cannot pay or just doesn't want to pay for his representation? Which, again, another mistake, and he should have learned once, but he won't. This is a real problem. And the question then really becomes, if Donald is indicted again for a fourth and fifth time, and when these cases do go to trial, and he is found guilty...
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What happens? Do we start to see a explosion of violence? American against American? And again, very different than the Civil War. Right. I mean, they just had a fucked up ideology, the South. Right. They wanted free labor. Right. This is different. This is pro-democracy versus authoritarianism. I mean, that's really what it's become to. Do you think that we see an explosion of violence in this country? And if so, you think that our law enforcement is ready for it?
Okay, so, man, an ultimate and in some ways imponderable question. Explosion of violence, law enforcement would be ready for. But if we're truly in that situation, and we've seen this, right? I mean, the spectacular kind of successes, if you could call them that, by lawbreakers use a surprise factor. They don't do it when they're, you know, when law enforcement is there for them. But if we're in that situation where it really is, we're sort of at war and law enforcement is putting down a very significant force of insurrection, you know, we are in a world of hurt and our democracy is hanging by a thread. Well, we have to hope, and I think there's real cause to hope this, is that, you know, little by little, the air leaks out of the tires. Even the Stuart Rhodeses of the world, I think, have gone past Trump and thought he's not radical enough for their wants. But I do think little by little, it won't be overnight, and it won't be completely conclusive. His ability to really marshal, you know, civil disobedience and violence diminishes. Air goes out of the tires. And so my best guess, but I don't know what sort of learning one brings to bear. Maybe it's just sort of, you know, disposition. But my best guess is when that day would come, there would be overall social acceptance, always worries about lone wolves, et cetera, but sort of ragtag little groups of support, as we've seen, right, when he's been indicted so far. It hasn't been anything like January 6th. If it really is a matter of, you know, January 6th writ large, I think law enforcement will put it down, but then our society is in deep crisis. What we have to want, what we have to, you know, pray for, hope for, count on, is that when the process, which includes a trial, the best way we can to, with all protections, to get at a result, renders its verdict, people by and large, you know, accepted enough to move on. And if they don't, better that we put them down with force. Yes. But, you know, that's a problem that then remains. But, you know, since I was around actually for Waco in the Department of Justice, I mean, there has been a kind of, it's not just been Trump in the last, say, 50 years where you have eruptions, but then things subside, et cetera. You know, at the end of the day, we have to think that Trump is less powerful than he believes himself to be. And if we're wrong there, any way you slice it, it's
Putin,
and we are in a major crisis.
But Harry, I think you'll acknowledge Waco is nothing like what we're talking about here. That was just, you know, this myopic little area. We're talking about a guy who is basically wanting to rewrite the Constitution. Right. I mean, it's not my words. Yeah. It's his words. He wants to rewrite the Constitution,
it is amazing the shit he's out there saying now,
which will only benefit
if he gets elected, and we'll say he has a mandate for this. So that's part of what I was saying before, how important it is. It really is unimaginable. It really does feel like the end of the American experiment. If, you know, maybe 50 years from now, but maybe not.
Once you lose these rights, they're gonzo.
Yeah, right. You know, ancient Greece down to Turkey, Hungary, whatever. Democracy is hard to crawl your way back to.
It's impossible. So, Harry, the hour goes by quick. I have a question a question I've been asking all of my guests, because you amongst them are a great prognosticator, right? I mean, your predictions are pretty good. But predictions are a dime a dozen these days.
Yeah,
if you would do me a favor and look into the Harry Lipman crystal ball, all right? Okay, you looking?
Wait, I need to concentrate here. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Where is Trump 2 years from now? Is he in prison? Is he in the White House? Or is he, you know, lurking about Mar-a-Lago, knocking down hamburgers, right? Diminished, neutered, you know, and just a half-baked Donald Trump version of himself. And Harry's rubbing his temples.
I'm going with option three, but it's tricky because the very charges that he's leveled about politicization, et cetera, led to a state of affairs where Biden withdraws completely and where Garland withdraws 80%. And what's left is just Trump and the legal system. He's in the jaws of the system that I think more likely than not he will be convicted of crimes that would land anybody else in jail. Now there's some argument, you know, Nixonian argument that, you know, for it's better to just have him go away than
significant home confinement,
some of that. But you know, I mean, that's not what the guidelines provide. And how's it going to work exactly that, you know, once a judge this, he doesn't get the sentence. And once he gets the sentence and goes on appeal and it's upheld, he, you know, the jail door doesn't clink behind him. I don't know. And I think the number one option of in jail is a very real one, even though it seems almost incredible to contemplate. But if I the vibrations I'm picking up from the netherworld tell me, Michael, that somehow he'll be adjudged guilty, but not put to hard labor.
Well,
my best
Harry,
guess.
Appreciate your
and
prognostication.
Now it's on video.
That's right. Appreciate you, my friend. Obviously, got to have you back as more of this stuff, you know, continues to rear its ugly head. I thank you, my friend.
You know where to find me. Yeah.
I sure do, in the green room. Harry, be good, my brother.
That's right. Thank you.
Well, that's all the time we got today, folks. I'll be back with you full steam next week with nothing but the truth. And again, as always, thanks for listening. Mea Culpa is brought to you by Audio Up, Midas Touch, and LSJ Media. Written by Jimmy Jelinek. Our editor and managing producer is Lisa Orkin. Our executive producers are Jared Gustad, Jimmy Jelinek, and myself, Michael Cohen, along with Phil Alberstadt. It may be a new day politically, but nowadays the landscape is more confusing than ever.
Donald Trump may have lost the battle for the presidency, but in many ways, Trumpism is still winning the war on the state and local level. Mea Culpa is here to help guide you through the wilderness and keep you informed. And let's face it, we all want Trump, Rudy, and the rest of these seditious traitors to see justice. And folks, I promise you, it's coming. So stay tuned as I guide you through the twists and turns of the criminal process that will ultimately see them behind bars. Mea Culpa, nothing but the truth.
This is my Mea Culpa.
It's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.